Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa police arrest murder suspect in 2024 drug and gun deal gone wrong. Mesa police announced officers had arrested a man suspected of a fatal shooting nearly a year after the shooting occurred. Detective Richard Giles, a department spokesperson, said police arrested 18-year-old Devin Mall April 1st after investigators gathered enough evidence to connect Mall to the killing of 23-year-old Gavin Wodzinski. Giles said officers first responded to the residential area of Wrecker Road and Trail Ridge Circle on April 21, 2024 at about 1 a.m. where they found Wodzinski dead on a sidewalk. Giles said officers investigated what happened but couldn't find any witnesses. Giles said investigators obtained several search warrants through which they learned that Wodzinski wanted to buy a gun and marijuana from Mall, who was 17 at the time. Both agreed to meet, and Mall described the vehicle he would arrive in. Giles said investigators reviewed traffic surveillance footage in the area and found a vehicle that had a unique headlight pattern in the area at the time the fatal shooting occurred. He added that detectives obtained additional videos throughout the city that show the same vehicle that created a path leading to locating Mall. Court documents said Mall told police he communicated with Wodzinski through the messenger app Telegram, where the latter indicated he wished to buy a gun with a drum magazine and some marijuana. Documents stated that Wodzinski came up to the passenger side of Mall's white Nissan in the early morning, April 21st, when Mall had the gun with the drum magazine sitting between his legs and his own .45 caliber handgun lying on his stomach. Mall told police that he handed Wodzinski some loose marijuana in exchange for some cash, which he was counting. Documents said Mall told police Wodzinski didn't say anything to him, but made a motion with his hands, which were inside the pockets of his hooded sweatshirt. Mall told police he shot Wodzinski because he thought Wodzinski was going to rob him, documents said. Documents stated Mall saw Wodzinski walking away while holding his chest before he drove away. On April 1st, police arrested and booked Mall into jail on one count of second-degree murder. He was being held on a $1 million bond. It was not immediately clear when his next court hearing would be, as of April 3rd. Detective Brandy Myers, another department spokesperson, said Mall's arrest marked a 100% homicide clearance rate for 2024, meaning every homicide suspect had been identified. Myers said, out of 14 homicides involving 14 victims, officers arrested and booked 10 suspects. Mesa police had 3 cases that involved an identified suspect where criminal charges were submitted to prosecutors, but the suspect had not yet been arrested, and one case where the suspect died by suicide. That story was Mesa police arrest murder suspect in 2024 gun and drug deal gone wrong. The next story, free April concert in Apache Junction Park features That Band. The April installment of Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department's concert in the park features That Band, playing a fun blend of classic rock and blues, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Saturday, April 12, at Flatiron Park. The park is at 100 North Apache Trail in Apache Junction. Grab your friends and family, along with a blanket or lawn chair, to enjoy a nice evening outside with some great music, it release states. Bring the kids or grandkids as well, and kick back to enjoy some great music from a local artist. All concerts are brought free by the City of Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department and Sunlight Productions. Event page can be found at https://www.facebook.com/events/581922601213162. For information on this program or other programs and services, call the Parks and Recreation Department at 480-983-2181 or go to www.apachejunctionaz.gov/parks. And that story was Free April Concert in Apache Junction Park features That Band. The next story. Volunteers found animal bones while searching for Emily Pike's remains, authorities say. A volunteer search of the area where Emily Pike's body was found turned up animal bones, not human ones, the Gila County Sheriff's Office said. The large search, April 1st, was run by community members at the request of Emily's mother, according to a Facebook post. Emily's mother, Steph Dossola, said she would also be at the search, saying, "My daughter really needs your help so she could be at peace." Emily's remains were found dismembered in black trash bags near a pullout on U.S. 60 near milepost 277. Her head and torso were found in one bag, and her legs were found in the other. The sheriff's office said Emily's body was dumped at the site, a rocky and forested area, with dry brush. Her hands and arms were still missing as of April 1st, more than 2 months after her body was first discovered in February. The volunteer-led search was not coordinated by the sheriff's office or the San Carlos Tribal Police Department, authorities said. The sheriff's office said volunteers found bones in several locations and at times claimed to have found her arms, but investigators determined the bones were animal bones and had been exposed to the elements for some time. The volunteer search came after several agencies conducted a search of Dossola's property with the consent of the family on March 31st. No evidence was located, according to the sheriff's office. No suspects or persons of interest have been identified in Emily's case, authorities said. Investigators have surveillance video but declined to say where it was from and when it was taken. Police initially searched near the area where her body was found with dogs from the Tonto Rim Search and Rescue Team, according to Jim Latty, a Gila County Sheriff's Office spokesperson. Additional searches in the following days were conducted by San Carlos Tribal Game and Fish Rangers and U.S. Border Patrol. Game and Fish Rangers returned to the area and searched the surrounding area multiple times, Latty said. The Gila County Sheriff's Office has not stopped looking for Emily's arms, but are looking for other leads and other areas to search, Latty continued. Emily ran away from the Mesa Group home where she was living near Mesa Drive and McKellips Road on January 27. Her body was found dismembered near Globe almost 3 weeks later, and it was unknown how she got there, nearly 100 miles east of where she was last seen. The cause and manner of death were still under investigation by the Pinal County Medical Examiner's Office, which investigates deaths in Gila County. The Medical Examiner's website listed her date of death as February 14, the day her body was found. And that story was what volunteers found in search for Emily Pike's remains. The next story, Free Residents Guide to Heat Safety Webinar offered by City of Mesa. Prepare for the high temperatures with a 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 8, free webinar hosted by the City of Mesa's Community Engagement Team that features experts from Mesa Fire and Medical Department and the Office of Homeless Solutions. Register at https://us06web.zoom.us/webinar/register/wn_6EMO7KAKRMA6L-MRZSX PRG#registration to receive a link to join and a follow-up email, which includes the webinar recording and a list of the resources mentioned. It will conclude with a Q&A session. In the 60-minute webinar, you will learn how to identify the symptoms of heat-related illness and how to help, how to prevent heat-related illness and reduce heat exposure, what resources are available in Mesa to mitigate and prevent risks associated with heat exposure. Residents Guide to Mesa combines in-person classes, webinars, on-demand videos, and downloadable resources to walk residents through the programs and services the city offers to its residents. That story was Free Residents Guide to Heat Safety Webinar offered by City of Mesa. The next story, Mesa police use new law to arrest woman suspected of selling fentanyl that killed a man. Mesa police arrested and booked a woman into jail using a new law that threatens harsher penalties to those who sell fentanyl to someone who later overdoses and dies as a result. Detective Sabrina Amix, a department spokesperson, said officers responded to a home near Southern Avenue and Hawes Road on November 27, 2024, after they received reports of an unresponsive man, later identified as 49-year-old Todd Gordon. Gordon was taken to a hospital, where he died on December 1, 2024, from acute fentanyl intoxication. Amix said Gordon's family member found text messages on his phone between him and 34-year-old Crucita Leon, where he arranged to buy fentanyl from her the same day he was hospitalized. Court documents said detectives used Gordon's phone posing as a friend and asked Leon if they could share her number with a friend, to which she agreed. The detective who posed as Gordon's friend contacted Leon and asked if she had any blues, a slang term for M30 fentanyl pills. Documents said Leon responded saying she had more fentanyl powder than blue pills and asked how much they needed. Court documents said detectives contacted Leon again on February 4 and arranged to buy 4 grams of fentanyl powder for $300 near 35th Avenue and Van Buren Street at a Food City parking lot in Phoenix. Documents said a confidential informant met with Leon and exchanged money for a baggie containing a white powdery substance. The documents said Leon asked the informant if they had tried fentanyl powder before, and if not, she had the drug Narcan, which is used to quickly reverse an opioid overdose. A Mesa Police crime lab later confirmed the substance contained fentanyl. Documents said detectives contacted Leon again on February 5 and arranged to buy 1,000 fentanyl pills from her for $700 near the Lincoln Market in Phoenix. Court documents said detectives watched Leon cross the street and place a bag containing blue M30 fentanyl pills in the confidential informant's vehicle. The pills also tested positive for fentanyl. Court documents said detectives contacted Leon for a third deal on February 19 to buy 2,000 fentanyl pills for $1,300 and 3 grams of fentanyl powder for $200 at a parking lot near Roosevelt and 16th Streets. Documents said Leon met with the confidential informant and handed them a white rock-type substance wrapped in tinfoil and explained she could not provide the pills. Documents added that Leon only charged the informant $150 for the inconvenience. Documents say police arrested Leon near 35th Avenue and Van Buren Street on March 26. Leon declined to speak with detectives and requested an attorney. Leon was booked into jail on multiple felony charges, including sale of lethal fentanyl, manslaughter, transport of narcotic drugs, and possession of narcotic drugs for sale, and was being held on a $500,000 bond. Her next scheduled hearing is on April 2 in Maricopa County Superior Court. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office confirmed it was the first sale of lethal fentanyl charge it had received since the law went into effect in November 2024. Police said Leon was also the first person to be arrested for violating the law in Mesa. That story was Mesa police used new law to arrest woman suspected of selling fentanyl that killed a man. The next story, LGES offers construction update, opens workforce training center. LG Energy Solution Arizona hosted a special event Friday to provide construction updates on its $5.5 billion Queen Creek manufacturing facility, as well as celebrate the opening of a workforce training center in Pinal County that will benefit the South Korean-based company. The facility, located at Pecos and Ironwood Roads, just east of where State Route 24 currently ends, is expected to create 1,500 new jobs by 2007, according to a press release from LGES. Richard Ra, president of LG Energy Solution Arizona, hosted Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley, Pinal County Supervisors Mike Goodman and Jeff Surdy, president and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority, Sandra Watson, and president and CEO of Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Danny Seiden, at the event. Ra announced that construction of the cylindrical battery facility is now about halfway complete, with the aim to start sample production in the middle of next year and commercial production by the year end, according to an LGES press release. The company has also recently started training its launch team members at the new Workforce Training Center in Apache Junction, established under Arizona's Future 48 Workforce Accelerator Program, in partnership with the Arizona Commerce Authority, Pinal County, and Central Arizona College. The 19,850-square-foot training center is part of the state's $30 million Future 48 Workforce Accelerator Project and was constructed along with a $42 million expansion at Central Arizona College's Superstition campus in Apache Junction. The Queen Creek facility is LG Energy Solutions' first cylindrical battery plant in the U.S. The company has a standalone facility in Holland, Michigan, that manufactures pouch-type batteries for automakers in North America. The company recently secured a series of supply agreements with automakers for its 46 series cylindrical batteries that will be manufactured in Arizona, the release stated. We look forward to a continued partnership for the facility's stable operation as this project goes beyond simply constructing a plant. We actively support developing regional talent through high-quality training programs, empowering them to become future battery professionals who will contribute to U.S. electrification with our innovative power solutions, Ra stated in the release. That story was LGES offers construction update, opens Workforce Training Center. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we're covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, former operators of troubled Mesa Sports Complex charged with fraud. The father and son, who opened Legacy Park, a massive sports park project in East Mesa that ended up in bankruptcy and left investors out more than $270 million, were federally charged with fraud. Randy Miller and his son Chad each were charged on April 1st with a count of conspiracy to commit securities and wire fraud, according to court documents. The charges were filed out of the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. Key in the indictment was testimony from an unnamed co-conspirator who said he helped the Millers create phony letters of intent from sports organizations. Those letters, prosecutors said, were presented to potential investors as evidence the park would be filled to capacity and generate millions of dollars in revenue. Of the 50 letters of intent presented to investors, the indictment said more than half were phony. The Securities and Exchange Commission also filed an action against the Millers on April 1st. That civil complaint named Jeffrey De La Viaga, the park's former chief operating officer. That complaint asked the court to order the men to disgorge all ill-gotten gains from the deal. Neither Randy nor Chad Miller could be reached for comment. Their longtime business attorney, J. Michael Baggett, did not return a phone message. Neither of the two attorneys listed on the SEC complaint against the Millers provided comment. No criminal attorney for the Millers was yet listed on the court docket. De La Viaga also did not return a phone message seeking comment. The sports complex opened in January 2022 on long vacant land that was annexed into Mesa. The project promised to generate large crowds for youth, amateur, and professional sporting events. It also promised to generate millions in profits, definitely enough to pay back the investors who bought what appeared to be a safe investment, bonds issued by an arm of the state of Arizona. The crowds materialized, but the profits did not. The park's financial records showed it bleeding cash upon opening. It opened under the name Bell Bank Park, but that financial institution asked to remove its name months after the facility went into default after missing the first payment to investors on its debt. In calls with the financial institutions that bought the bonds, Chad Miller promised bright days were ahead, blaming the initial troubles on inflation and problems with the lingering COVID-19 pandemic. The indictment suggests something else was at play, fraud. The Millers misrepresented the economic prospects and risks associated with Legacy Park to induce investors to purchase bonds they would not have purchased had they known the truth, the indictment reads. The indictment said that the Millers created phony letters of intent that inflated the potential revenue. In truth, prosecutors said, a volleyball club had no intention to move its operations to Legacy Park. The organization hosting events for disabled athletes did not generate as much revenue as the fake letter suggested, the indictment said. Same with the performance coaching company. In a June 2020 email, quoted in the indictment, Chad Miller told the co-conspirator, here are a few more consent to assign forms that need your special touch, LOL. Randy Miller had been planning a massive youth sports park since at least 1990. His quest to build it left a trail of legal documents. According to the court papers, sometimes he would make offers to sell equity in his project. Other times he would get partial funding from one entity, vowing that amount would trigger a flood of investment from another. Randy Miller had filed for bankruptcy twice. In an interview with The Republic, Randy Miller said he himself had been a victim of investment schemes in his quest to build the park, although he declined to delve into that history. I'm not going back 30 years, 40 years. There's no reason to do that, he said, in a March 2023 interview inside one of the park's massive indoor gymnasiums. I don't know what my history has to do with what we're talking about here. Randy Miller was able to get the project funded through an arm of state government, the Arizona Industrial Development Authority. That authority, created by Governor Doug Ducey, issued $282 million in bonds for the project with minimal discussion. Because the bonds were issued from a government authority, the investors who bought them didn't have to pay taxes on the proceeds. That meant they could agree to receive a lower interest payment, giving the project a break on its cost. The bonds were issued to Legacy Cares, a nonprofit Randy Miller created shortly before asking for bond funding. The Arizona Industrial Development Authority had lent such support to several large projects, some of them out of state. Those included a prison in Hawaii, a Hilton Garden Inn in Harlingen, Texas, and a resort in Puerto Rico. Four of the projects it approved, including Legacy Park, went into default. The authority had operated in relative obscurity until The Republic published a story on its activities in 2021. In May 2023, Governor Katie Hobbs instituted new guidelines for projects approved by the Arizona Industrial Development Authority. That included a focus on affordable housing and renewable energy projects, not sports parks. After the bonds were issued, the indictment said, the Millers enriched themselves. Chad Miller used bond monies to buy a Cadillac Escalade. Randy Miller used $400,000 to buy a home, the indictment said. A chief financial officer at the facility ordered the Millers to pay back funds in December. To Legacy Cares, the nonprofit that operated the park, filed for bankruptcy protection in May 2023. The $284 million facility was sold for less than $26 million. The judge sent the bulk of that money to several contractors who filed liens for bills they said went unpaid. Bondholders were left in the lurch, recouping less than $2.5 million of the more than $280 million investment. The complex was rebranded by its new owners as Arizona Athletic Grounds. On the first weekend in April, it was set to host an indoor girls volleyball tournament, a youth baseball showcase, and a youth soccer tournament. That story was former operators of troubled Mesa Sports Complex charged with fraud. The next story, SR 88 closures begin Tuesday. The Arizona Department of Transportation has scheduled a series of midweek closures on an 11-mile section of State Route 88 west of Theodore Roosevelt Dam. The closures are scheduled between April 8 and May 8 from the entrance to Apache Lake and just west of the Theodore Roosevelt Dam overlook. The 48-hour closures are scheduled from 7 a.m. Tuesdays through 7 a.m. Thursdays on April 8 to 10, April 15 to 17, and April 29 to May 1st and May 6 to 8. A 72-hour closure is scheduled from 7 a.m. Monday, April 21, through 7 a.m. Thursday, April 24, according to ADOT. The closures are taking place as part of an $18 million paving project ADOT is overseeing in coordination with the U.S. Forest Service and the Federal Highway Administration. The project began in late 2022. This Arizona Federal Lands Access Program project includes paving an 11-mile gravel section of the highway and updating drainage features that are not functional or were damaged by flooding. The project will also improve sight lines at several locations, state transportation officials said. During the enclosures, access to the Theodore Roosevelt Dam overlook will remain open via State Route 188. State Route 88 will be open heading east from the Phoenix area. However, the steep, unpaved section behind Fish Creek Vista and Fish Creek Bridge is only for use by high-clearance four-wheel drive vehicles and utility terrain vehicles. No trailers are allowed, the ADOT release stated. That story was SR 88 closures begin Tuesday. The next story, what are the townhomes being built along Main and Date Streets west of Mesa's downtown? The Mesa Royale project, planned by Chicanos por la Causa, a nonprofit social services and community development organization along Main Street and Date, is slated to be built in two phases. The project, just west of downtown Mesa, is slated to bring affordable multi-family housing. According to Chicanos por la Causa, the total redevelopment is planned for multiple phases and includes both for-sale homes and apartments. Phase 1 of the Nuevas Vistas 56 townhome project. 10 of the 56 units have been completed and are currently 50% sold out. Nick Smith, the vice president of real estate development with the organization, told the Arizona Republic. Nuevas Vistas townhomes are available to first-time home buyers who make 80% or less than the area median income, he said. Two additional phases are in development. Additional phases include plans for two three-story residential buildings with a total of 89 new apartment units along a plot of land where the historic Kiva Lodge Motel originally stood. Those rental units will be available for families at or below 60% of the area median income, according to the organization. That would bring a total of 145 affordable housing units to the nonprofit's development. The organization plans to include about 7,736 square feet of commercial area on the ground floor of the southern apartment building, according to planning documents. The cost of the additional phases represents an investment of approximately $50 million, according to Smith. The organization will seek to apply for the state's 2026 low-income housing tax credit round to help fund the project. History of the site. Planning for the project has been underway since 2018, when Chicanos por la Causa purchased the land. Part of the site included a mobile home park that the city deemed unfit for human habitation in 2015. The land was put on the market in 2016, leading to Chicanos por la Causa's purchase. Additionally, the Kiva Lodge Motel stood west of the mobile home park. The motel opened in the 1930s and had a neon sign of a Native American chief in full headdress. The motel was demolished in 2023, despite preservationists' call to save it. It is not immediately clear when construction could begin or be completed. That story was, what are the townhomes being built along Main and Date Streets west of Mesa's downtown? Remember, if you missed a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can take SunSounds with you on our new app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News, covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.